Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Johnny's topic today, it's a good one. What is the end game of your business? I don't think we think about this enough, because I think a lot of us are just in like, how do we make it through next week? And how do we pay the bills next month, right? So the idea of thinking about like, you know, what is the actual long-term play? Some people, you know, there's a lot of good content creators. There's a lot of good people in this group that are retired from their actual work, and they do reselling as like an extra thing to keep them active and have, I guess a little bit of extra casino money. For me personally, I don't want to be like 90 years old reselling. No offense if there's somebody that's 90 years old reselling, at least in the way I do now. I think in the future, there'll be more advancements. They kind of already exist where you can buy things and ship them to a prep center. You never have to touch the items. I think that would appeal more to me as I continue to age. I'm also on the third floor, so like I'm kind of jaded in my thought process. Like I don't want to be carrying things up three flights of steps as I get older. But I do think there is interesting aspects to it to people that have kids or people that have, you know, a really profitable business that can almost run itself and passing that on to family. And I don't know, man. What's your thoughts on this?
I think it's probably one of the most impactful things you decide to do. But here's the thing. When you ask somebody, I don't know, if you won the lottery, what would you do? They list off all these things. If you really get down to brass tacks, we're not talking about lottery money here, but it can be a significant chunk of change on a recurring basis. So what, based off of that kind of math, not lottery math, what can you feasibly do or want to do? And if it's not enough, how much more do you need? So like, I'm going to use you as an example here. I think you want a home. Maybe a little bit of land, and then enough income to pay your bills and do something spur of the moment or just because you can and will kind of do, and you want your time. So how do you get to those metrics? How do you get your time and enough money to do all of that? I think that knowing that crystal, this is what I need and this is what I want, you can then do the math to get there. Like, what do you need to do number-wise, numerically at least? Now, what you're selling, how you're selling it, that may need to shift to meet that goal. Maybe it's not books. Maybe you need to sell, I don't know, refrigerators to get there. But knowing that you need to sell refrigerators, not books anymore, that's a key component.
Yeah, I agree. I think it all can be reverse engineered, but knowing where you want to be when the time comes, and it's kind of, you know, like having goals. And we don't like to talk about financial things, but like, you know, I invest every single day. Sure, I'm not putting $1,000 in the market every single day, but I have my retirement accounts to automatically deduct money from my account every single day that gets invested. I think we have to be thinking long term, because, you know, you see this so much, and it saddens me when people are struggling and they're older and they have no savings and they have no retirement. It like hurts my soul, because, you know, if you just make a small commitment over time, it's going to grow so much. It's like the idea of investing. And even if you just put $1 a day into, you know, retirement, and it'll grow over the 20, 30, 40 years. But it seems so small today, right? Like, Johnny, why am I going to put $1 in today? Like, what the hell is that? I think people are so short-sighted. And I think we got to start thinking about the long-term play as, you know, we continue to age. Maybe even if you're older and maybe you don't feel like reselling anymore, right? Just start thinking of ways to be like, okay, here's how much I need per month. What can I do to maybe cut back to work, maybe make the business less stressful, and I can still generate income? Because I think a lot of people, unfortunately, fall into that weird spot of you can never really hang up the boots. You can never really retire, because you always have to be, because the cost of life goes up. Everything goes up. By the time we're old, thing gas will be $55 a gallon, right? So like, we know everything's going to go up. Everything has always gone up in price since the beginning of time, right? Shipping's going to go up 10 times next year, right? We can account for these things. So start planning for them today and start saving for your future. And if you have a business, It's a transferable. I can't pass my business down to anybody because it requires me going out and scanning things, right? So I'm basically giving somebody a job. I'm not giving nobody no types of blessings. I'm giving you an eYoYo scanner and my YouTube link and saying, hey, good luck, figure it out, right? But I do think there are a lot of reselling businesses where, you take a step back where you can have people run the business for you. You can say, I'm the owner, I oversee things. You're not really required to be hands-on because I have a good team underneath me. Those are the businesses that are the ones that can be, family tree changing because you have this ongoing LLC business, employees, actual real estate space for your business. Unlike me, who's just an apartment living, scanner guy, I ain't got nothing to pass down. The scanner be worth nothing by the time I go.
Right. I mean, generational wealth or generational businesses, for those that are interested in that, I mean, that requires a little bit of setup. You're probably want a family trust because you're not gonna, they're probably not working when they're 5 years old, but you can start get putting money in there for when they're of age to start coming on in the business. And then if they decide not even to do the business, well, they got a little bit of money coming in and you can readjust your plans. Okay, I need legacy management now to manage. I probably need a board of directors. Because my family has no interest in coming on board like I planned when they were little bitty. But if they do come on board, you can make the transition pretty seamless if you start today, honestly. A little bit of legal, a little bit of account setup, pay us some paperwork, and you're good to go. I'm simplifying a bit, but that's pretty much the brass tacks of what it is. Now,
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
again, I don't think a lot of people know what they want out of life or what they really want that like reasonable. We got to come down to reasonability. What do you want? Do you want the home? Do you want a vacation every month? Do you want to go tour Europe for 6 months out of the year? Or Asia or somewhere else? Whatever you want to do, or you just want a cabin in the woods and be left alone. Or maybe you want to. And there are folks who just want to work till they die. I probably fall more into that camp. I always have to have busy, but maybe I just want to open up a bar and hang out with bar people. That's my end goal, but that requires a little bit of capital to do. That's not my end goal. I'm just using that as an example. So your goal can be big or small, but knowing that at the end of the day can help you in your current business, or maybe you need more than one business to make those goals a reality. And you go into more owner territory than self-employed territory at that case. Now, I think it's critical to know we get money from reselling, and Mike mentioned it earlier, is are you putting any money aside? What kind of investments are you doing? Are those the right investments? Do I need a financial advisor? Because I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just kind of guessing what sounds good in the news cycle. I can't help you there. Maybe you do need a financial advisor or a tax advisor because all your investments, either taxed up front or taxed at the end or taxed all the time. So you got to figure that out as well. So there are certain nuances there, but everybody should at least have a savings account, bare minimum. I don't care who you are. That's the lowest barrier to entry other than cash and gold and the safe and vault or under the mattress kind of deal. Because at least you get a little bit of compounding. It won't be much, but at least your money's growing. It's not shrinking unless you're touching it. Don't touch your savings account. Unless you're saving up for the home, then yeah, pull the trigger when you can.
I think another thing too is utilizing your reselling business for X amount of time to have X amount of dollars to pivot into another business that can be more profitable, right? Because
Yeah.
I personally think it's super hard to rescale a reselling business successfully if you compare it to other type service business models that I've seen. Listen, my whole YouTube is like people that like are trying to pitch like different ideas, right? I got people with laundromats, I got people doing car detailing and things like that, because that's the type of shit I'm interested in. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and I think a lot of people get stuck in the reselling cycle, and they could potentially be more profitable if they, like you said, maybe they got to start selling refrigerators. And I
Yeah.
think people, resellers are so scared to spend more money to make more money. And it's literally just holds us back completely. Like I used to be that way. I used to be like, I don't want to spend more than, $100 today. Now I'm like, I want to spend as much money as I possibly can in every store I'm in to make more money. But in the beginning, I was not like that at all. I think all of us are like that in the beginning. We're like, we don't want to spend nothing. But I do think we have to think about, can we, if we spend more, are we getting the ROI? Are we going to make more money, right? You just don't spend to spend. But if the opportunity's there, we need to take it as resellers. We know what works. We know what sells. And if you have the capital to get more of those items that you know we're going to sell, there's no stop. You got to block yourself out. Like I had a bunch of one-on-ones yesterday, and I said this to multiple people. I said, you're a better reseller than you think you are. If I had to drop one of your best friends in your life and said, you have to train them to be a reseller, I guarantee you would train them in everything they need to know. But for some reason, we second-guessed ourselves when it comes to opportunity, and we second-guessed ourselves with the data that we understand. We've sold this item before. Sure, we're not paying a dollar today for it. Maybe we got to pay $10 and it's going to sell for 30. But you know, that thing is guaranteed to sell and you're guaranteed to make money on it. And we still struggle with it just because it costs more than the dollar we paid the first time we found it.
That is so fundamental right there. It's marginability, as long as it's profitable, you can scale, but you got to be clearing money. And yeah, you could say that item or SKU can tank or this, that, and the other. But again, that's stuff that's out of your control, man. But if the data today and the data we've had all along is showing profitability, even though a little less margin year by year, that's a-okay until it becomes unprofitable. Then it's not okay at that point. But you're a business owner. You should be monitoring that stuff all the time, and you should catch it before it even gets to that point. But, and yeah, people are afraid to spend, like you said, 10 bucks because we're used to this huge margin. There are a lot of businesses that don't have the margin ability of reselling, and we scoff at 20% margin. How dare we? But a lot of businesses can thrive off 20%. There's some operations that make a business out of 3% margin. That's tiny. But when you're talking a $1 billion operation, 3% is a-okay, sir, ma'am. And there's this thought of I could just make more money by pumping it into reselling because the return on investment's so good. You're not necessarily wrong, but I do think a little bit of diversity helps you. In case of, again, these unforeseeables, let's say you got section three and you're 3 months into resolving this, or maybe it takes you 6 months because you need to bring lawyers on to get your account back. And what are you doing for those 3 to 6 months? You got no extra money. You don't even have savings because you bankrolled, you bet all on black, which is Amazon, which it's not a bad bet at face value, but every now and then, they may tell you to take a walk from the table and cool off,
You
and you
better have
got
a
to be
pile
prepared
of
for that.
cash. Yeah, you better have a
Exactly.
pile of cash. Johnny literally explained my business over the past 2 years at the beginning of his little rant there. And he said, you can have a higher sell-through with lower margins and make more money. If I look at my exact Amazon business year to date over last year, I'm up 48%. My average sales price is down $2 per unit, right? But I made probably an extra 20 to 25% in actual tangible dollars so far this year than I did last year. So I sold less, I had a higher ASP, but now that my sell-through is higher, my margins are lower, I make more money than my old business does. I'm
Right,
living proof.
it makes perfect sense, and that is a very viable model to go, and it's hard for people to swallow that, and I don't know why that holdup is. Again, it may be fear, it may be, well, why sell something for $2 instantaneously when I could sell something for $20 in 12
It's
months?
boring, dude. It's lame, right? Like having an average sales price of $15, dude. Nobody's getting excited, when you sell a DVD for $15. And like it excites me because I know like I probably spent a dollar on that. I just made $6 or $7. And I think to myself, man, like I used to work a job where I had to work, when I worked at Macy's, I was making 7 and a quarter an hour, like before taxes. Like that one DVD was equivalent to me working 1 hour at Macy's, right? Like, so for me, I'm like, hell yeah, like I just made 1 hour of Macy's wages over here. But I think for your average reseller, it's like you said, they want the big booms. They want to see, oh, I went to the thrift, or I went to the bins, and I turned this dollar into $1 trillion. And I'm here to tell you, you don't need to have all the crazy good finds to have a nice profitable reselling business. Like, I probably sell 5 to 10 items a year over $100, and that's the highest I go, like, all year long, right? And Johnny already sold one of them, so theoretically it's between 4 and 9, because I don't find this stuff around me. Like, this is what is readily available to me in my area. It's the stuff that's worth between $10 and $25, and that's all I buy for a dollar. And I take my dollar and turn it into between $5 and $10 as much as I possibly can. It is what it is. I mean, it pays the bills. It keeps the lights on. I'm comfortable with that.
In business as a whole, you can make two money. You can make money at two ends of the spectrum. The really cheap stuff, we'll call it Temu items. There's a bajillion of them. Or the Rolexes. There's not a bajillion Rolexes. And we all try to get these Rolexes because it sounds good, like you said. But finding the Rolexes is a huge Herculean task to do, and it's great when they happen. But trying to build your business off the Rolex model is a lot harder than the Temu model because the Temu stuff's everywhere you look. It's everywhere. It's abundant. If you find an abundant pile of Rolexes, hey, call me. I'll go 50-50 on it with you.
Yeah, I think you're right too. Like, even if you wrap it back to like, what's your end game? My end game requires me having more money. So in order for me to get more money, I had to lower my margins to send in more items to sell, right? Like, that's the only way I make more money. If nothing else changes and I'm in the same area and I'm going to the same thrift stores, I'm hitting the same spots over and over again, I have to find more items to scale my business, because I need more money for my end game, which is to have a house, to have a little piece of land, not have no damn neighbors, and to get my time back, right? So I said, well, I need more money, like we all do. We all need more money. How do we get there? I could have changed what I sold. Maybe I could have started selling Nikes, right? I live by the outlets. Maybe I start flipping clothes and shoes from the outlets, or I could lower my margins a little bit, raise my sell-through. I'm not buying slower moving items when my margins go down. I'm buying faster moving items. So if I'm going to take less money, I need it to sell quicker so I can turn that money over quicker and quicker. And that's been my whole focus this year, is sell-through. So yet again, we get back to, what is your end game? What do you need to do to get there? It would be impossible for me to maintain high margins in media and scale this business because I don't have the quality of stuff around me. My only play was, okay, I focus on a higher sell-through, I lower my profitability a little bit, but I sell 10x more units than I did last year, and I make more money.
Right. And having a high ASP or getting your ASP as high as you can is always a good goal. But if you could sell a million $2 items and you can only find, I don't know, five of these $1,000 items, you're better off selling the $2 items. Your area impacts what kind of items you have access to. The right deals come along maybe, I don't know, once every 6 months or once a year. And you're in a position because you waited to get that mega score of just awesome stuff. But for the rest of the year, it's a-okay to pick up the lower end stuff, honestly. Now, is it a bit grindier that way? Yeah. So it's a happy medium of trying to find the best things you can, sure. But you also need to work with what you got. And if what you got is Temu items and not the refrigerators or the Rolexes, that's fine. You just gotta. Okay, if I'm stuck with $2 items, how do I make a business off of $2 items? Or am I in the right business? I need to look elsewhere to find whatever that elsewhere item is to get me my, I don't know, $10 items I desire. Because maybe it's not books, maybe it's not CDs, maybe it's, I don't know, makeup or you opening up a laundromat or doing something even outside of reselling. It's all dependent on what you personally want.
Yeah, I agree. I just looked. I'm up 73% on units sold year to date from last year. So, like,
Ooh,
it's
that's a lot of units.
it is more work, right? 100%. But in the Amazon land, it's really not, because all I'm doing is slapping a label on 98% of the stuff. The other 2% maybe's got to get resurfaced or it doesn't go through. So I think it is a balancing act, like Johnny said. Like, I'm sitting here telling you, I'm buying more items, I'm sending more items. That requires more time out of my life, but the trade-off is more actual profitable dollars into my bank account. At the end of the day, right? Like I tell you all, it's impossible for me to work 40 hours unless I'm driving 3 hours one way. So even if I do have to chip in the extra time, if it is going to make me more money where I'm currently at, my current bubble of reselling that I have, then that's the commitment it's going to take at the end of the day. And like I said, it's not exciting. I love finding the like that book I sent you, the damn nice little gold shimmery, really expensive books,
Yeah.
Franklin, whatever the hell they're called. Dude, I always forget the name of them.
Easton Press, Easton
Easton
Press.
Press, right? Like, it's not that I don't look for this stuff, Johnny, right? I think people are like, he don't even look for this stuff. I'm like, I'm out here in these stores, like, please, please,
I'm
please.
telling you, the people that actively look for and sell this for their entire business model, they travel. They hop on planes because they don't pop up every day. Well, they do pop up every day, but you're in Pennsylvania, it's in Iowa. It's there and available, but it's in Iowa.
Yeah, dude, it's not that I don't look for them. I do my due diligence when I'm in the stores. It just doesn't exist around me. And when it does, it's a nice bonus, right? Every once in a while, sure, I come across one. Yay, I come across something and it's worth a lot of money. But other than that, I think that's the idea of like your end game and focusing on, I don't even think it has to be monetary. I think you could be getting your time back and having just like an extra piece of income coming in, right? It's never going to be fully passive, no matter what you do in life. There's nothing that is fully passive. But I do think, doing the legwork up front and really thinking about what you want to be down the road when the time comes where maybe you just get bored of reselling, right? That's what happens to a lot of people. People are just like, I don't enjoy this anymore. It's not fun. And I think you got to do something you enjoy. I enjoy going and scanning things and finding some cool stuff every once in a while or whatever it may be. I think a lot of people lose that pretty quick in reselling because they realize I got to go to 100 thrift stores in a month and I can't just survive off my one local thrift store or Goodwill bins. And then like you just get tired of it. But it's such a great opportunity financially. And if you just want to get your time back and have a little bit of extra money that people, but people, everything we're talking about, man, like people can't think about next week, rather yet, me and Johnny sitting here saying we want to grow old. Johnny's still going to be reselling. I'm going to be sitting over here smoking a peace pipe, being like, yeah, I quit reselling 20 years ago.
I'll let you sit near the conveyor belt, Mike. It's fine. But in all seriousness, if you've created a business model that is a grind, whether it's got a huge route going on or you just have so much stuff to sift through, you need to come to the realization, okay, either I'm in the right business and I need to put in processes, systems, and probably personnel to make this viable of any real dollars. Otherwise, you probably need to be looking at something else that's higher margin to do, or a different business entirely. It's those reality checks that impacts you personally, whether you stay in reselling, go to another business, or you figure out, okay, my business needs some major adjustments because I need to be making X in value per item. I'm not. How do I do it? Is my widget right or are my processes wrong? Yes, no, and then follow the chain of commands to figure out how to get there. You can do this. It's a little bit of thinking power. It really is a little bit of thinking power, but take some time, make a list of what you actually want for you and yours being your family, probably. If you're a single person, well, you could be selfish and make your personal wish list with no compromise. Get in that man house, not a cave, the whole house is the man house, and do with it as you see fit, and figure out how much that costs. And figure out, okay, am I making enough money to get there by 10 years? No? Okay, my timeline needs to be 15 years. Are you okay with that? Yes, no? That's the other thing. People's timetables, they don't think about that. When do they want to hit the goal? I think that's a very important measuring stick because that tells you on a year-to-year basis if you're on or off track. And if you're off track, how do I get back on? What do I need to do? If you're not okay with the longer time scale, what needs to change? What do I need to do to change my business or shift businesses entirely to make that a reality?
A lot of it too is like you have to understand your business on a financial level that most don't. We talked about this on the call we had is like I broke down my pay per hour in the month of October on a call that I did. And I think People don't know their numbers, so they think their business sucks more than it sucks, or they're not getting the results they should be getting. But if you really sit down and break down your actual numbers, you will see how much you're making per hour. And I think it will surprise a lot of people to know that you're probably making more than your typical job that you can go find in your local area that doesn't require a degree or doesn't require tens of thousands of dollars to go get a degree. So I think we have to understand that at that level and everything we're talking about, the times have changed in reselling. It's not like it used to be. You have to have business
We had it
sense.
easy back in the day. Yeah.
I mean, people that had it easy back then, there are still people falling flat on their face, but the people that were smart, like you are required to be today, were super
Oh,
successful.
yeah.
Now you it's
They
required
got to
to
pile cash, more cash than Scrooge McDuck kind
exactly.
of cash.
So nowadays it's required to even have that type of business mentality to even be any type of successful because you can't just list it and forget it. You can't just send anything to Amazon. You got to know what is the data you're looking at? Does it sell? Has it ever sold? How many photos do I need? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? And if your end game is this to be forever for you, or is it to be for the next 5, 10, 15 years, you still have to be profitable today. And what goes into that is things are changing. Dude, how much shit has changed this past year in reselling alone? Don't matter what the platform is.
So much.
I
There's a
mean,
long list.
it's completely new. Like, if somebody was reselling in 2024 and just started to get back into reselling today in 2025, they would be like, what the hell has happened around here?
I had two friends I talked into doing Amazon, and this year had a lot of problems, and I had some interesting conversation. This isn't normal, but it might be, and you need to be okay with that. And I didn't have a crystal ball knowing that we would have the buy box issues 3 months out of this year, maybe fourth, because we're heading to December in a few days. I'll help you because I talked you into this the best I can. But at the end of the day, they were both profitable and they were okay with that. But I was talking probably potential forecasting for 2024. We're in 2025, and that forecast I did with them doesn't work. It doesn't comply. Now, adjustments need to be made, and knowing when to make those adjustments is good. But that's the thing. There are things that these curveballs that come at us, and our business has to sustain those impacts. And if it can't, your business is broken and you need to reevaluate it. Now, it's not broken because of anything you did, because again, these are things out of your control, but you need to be able to fix it when it gets broke or is broken or is on the way to being broken. Because it's all this is on you. It's nobody else's control but yours. Even if those things hit you that are out of your control, it's still on you to be able to fix them.
Yeah, dude, you're right. And I mean, you had the Amazon buy box, and we have this eBay promoted listings where somebody clicks on a listing, whatever, and it still sells 10 years later. You still get charged a promoted fee, right? Like, we can't control this. So, I mean, you got two options, right? You either figure out a way to deal with it or you quit because we're tired of hearing you cry. I don't even have to tell you, Johnny's about tired of hearing you cry. I'll say it for both of us. You can't change what the platform's changed, right? You can just go sell somewhere else. Good luck, Chuck, right? And that's going to
Make
be
your own
us.
platform and make it the Disneyland of reselling. I'll jump on board. I like Disneyland, but until then, suck it up, Buttercup.
It's tough because I get it, right? Like it's an extra percentage coming out of your pocket. But at the end of the day, we're playing on their platforms. We are at the will of whatever they did. If the platform says, hey, we're raising fees 10%. You have two options. You go sell somewhere else, or you just stop selling on, you just quit, or well, I guess that's straight. You stop selling, you move somewhere else, or you account for the extra 10%, right?
Or
Those are your
four, change what you're selling.
exactly. So there's always going to be pivots. I mean, anybody listening to this as a reseller this year, even if it's just, even if you're selling on Whatnot or any of these other platforms, just look at the post office. The post office goes up every 3 months, I feel like, the cost of shipping things. So every person, no matter what platform, is impacted by changes in reselling constantly. So if your end game, you don't know what your end game is, good luck figuring out how the hell you're going to get anywhere or if you're even making a dollar at the end of the day. Like, we got to have some type of goal. Whether that's retirement or whether that's next year or whether that's by the end of next month, you should have something laid out where this is my expectations for the business. I want to make this much money. Track it, know your numbers down to a T, down to the penny. Spend some time actually being a business owner, not just being a lister and taking photos and filling up a box. Dive into your numbers, dive into the actual profitability of your business. Because if not, dude, who cares? You're just useless. You're just roaming through life and you have this big, beautiful opportunity of reselling and you kind of just let it go by the wayside.
Right. And for a person like me, I'm always going to be doing something in books. I mean, even before I started reselling, I was in book publishing. I'm probably not going to change my widget, even though I'm fully aware. That's a weird zoom in. Okay.
Whoa.
I know. Got to watch the video. Subscribe to the Used Book Guy on YouTube to see this amazing
Oh my
display.
God, it like zoomed in super high when I went to drink my Mountain
I
Dew, and that was
know.
like just my whole head.
That was the plug, Mountain Dew. We're looking for a sponsor.
Yes, we are. Zero sugar, please.
Yeah. But anyway, I like the widget I sell. I'm probably never going to change my widget. I may add things onto it. Because I'm fully aware there are other widgets that are way more profitable that I can do. And some other people that are in different categories, like Johnny, why are you wasting time in books? Because I see it all the time. A lot of the resellers transition in books to do something else. I don't want to do that. I love books. I'm a weirdo. But I'm okay with that, and I'm self-aware of that. So I make my business work around playing with books however I can. I do consignment with books. I do eBay with books. I do Amazon with books. I plan on opening up a bookstore and all these other weird things with books. Now, could I take an easier path by selling another widget and doing other things? Probably. But we talked about our end goal. My end goal is working with books until the day I die. That is my end goal. And having money along the way to do whatever the hell I want. And as of right now, I'm doing just that. So I'm where I need to be. Now, if you're not okay with that and you're not in love with your widget like I am, and you're not a weirdo like I am, change your widget. Do something else.
I got an idea. Everybody's widget should just be a dollar bill.
There you go. You're playing with dollar bills.
I'm in love with my widget, my one. I'm like Mr. Krabs. I hate the books, but I love the dollar bills, right? I don't see a book, I see a dollar bill. Like I was just like, oh, what is this thing? This is a pretty big dollar bill here I have in my hand. Let me send it on its way so it can come back and make me more money. But you're right, dude. Like if my end game was like to move to California, buy a 3,000-acre farm in the middle of nowhere, like something's got to change because I don't have that income currently to get there, but that's not my end game. My end game is nice little place, little bit of land. I'm good to go. Just keep pumping money into retirement. I don't live the lavish life. Like people got to force me to buy things for myself that are expensive. So, yeah, for me, it's different for everybody though, right? But understanding what yours actually is the only way you're ever going to be able to get there to even see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if it is working forever, I still will challenge you like, hey, what do you want to do along the way? What are some cool things you want to do along the way? What are maybe some business things you want to buy? Some people want to go the route of an employee, or some people want to go the route of the fanciest, software, or their own warehouse space, or their own little, storage unit that they build in the back of their yard, their own barn, their own reselling barn, or something like that. Everybody's got to have aspirations. Like, right? I think a lot of people just judge through, like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I
You
guess I'll
need to
do
sit
this.
down and you need to do what people do when they get diagnosed with cancer or they're 80. Make your freaking 100 things to do before I die list. And then figure out if your business can do those 100 things. If not, readjust your business. If you want to go see Niagara Falls or the Great Wall of China, those are, depending where you live, can be expensive trips. Figure out if you can see all the Niagaras and Great Walls of China's in the world, whatever that 100 item list is. Add up all the numbers. What does it cost today? What is it going to cost 10 years from now? Add some inflation in there. Give yourself some conservative number buffer because it's going to be more. You can't do all 100 in year one unless you plan on doing that at 80. I've given myself a cutoff time. At 80 years old, we're doing the bucket list. So now you're giving yourself a timetable, right? From whatever your age is now till 80. Can I make my business be able to do that so I can go? Take I'm 80 years old vacation.
I agree. We're going to wrap it up here. Just start thinking about what the end game is for you, even if that is, pivoting to another business altogether. I think reselling is a beautiful opportunity, and we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.